Let's go to the scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Out in the foyer, you may see some new signage there. We have four big signs that state four cornerstones of our ministry, what we endeavor to lead people through as they come to the church, many of them receiving Christ for the first time. And those are, first of all, to know God. I talked to you about this at this month, just knowing God, because salvation is a personal relationship. And walking with Him is learning to know Him. Secondly is find freedom. Pastor Renee talked to you about freedom last week. And, you know, we have to find freedom. Much of becoming a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ, is learning how to find freedom in every area of your life. The third and fourth would be discovering purpose, realizing that each of us have a divine purpose, a reason for being that God gave us. And then finally, making a difference, engaging in the world around us, engaging in the church in such a way that you can make a positive difference in the lives of other people in the world around you. So today I want to talk to you about discovering your divine purpose and living a life that truly does make a difference. Are you ready to learn now? All right, now I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, and I want you to follow along. I'm going to mention a couple little things and keep moving. Then we'll come back to this verse, and I'll ask our team to put the verse back up a little later. But let's read through it now. And so, dear brothers and sisters, Paul writes, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, I want you to notice that last verse before I go to verse 3. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Verse 3. Because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, I want you to remember that word function. Verse 5, so it is with Christ's body. That means the church, that's you and me. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. I want you to mark that. It says, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So you're gifted in the area that you do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. And if it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Can you say amen? Amen? So I want to talk to you about discovering your divine purpose. I believe this verse has some very important keys to making that discovery. First of all, as we go back to the top of Romans 12 and 1, he talks about how that we're to give our whole bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Now, when you use the word sacrifice, it brings the word picture to mind of an individual bringing a live animal to the altar and taking that animal's life and then burning its body on that altar. So Paul said that you and I are to be living sacrifices. In other words, God doesn't want us to die for Him. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to live our life totally given over to Him. You know, the essence of being of salvation, that initial experience, is just simply making a commitment. Lord, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my very being. All of my future belongs to you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I belong to you. And Paul said that when we come to Christ, we give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Then he goes on to say, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so it's important that we are transformed. And then he said, when you are transformed, you will learn to know God's will for you. Look at that line. Once you've been transformed by changing the way you think and you're not living like the world and thinking like the world, your view, your mentality's not of the world, then you will learn to know the will of God for you. Then you will learn to know the will of God. When I talk about divine purpose, I'm talking about the will of God for you and you and me. And so it's a process. Give your whole life to Christ. Start the process of starting to think like God thinks and see the world through His lens. Then you will begin to know the will of God for you, the divine purpose. The divine purpose is three things. When you find God's will for your life, it will be first good. Sometimes people think, man, if I give my life to Christ, He may send me somewhere I don't want to go and do something I don't want to do. And I have these other things in life that I want to do. But if I give my life to the Lord, I'll have to do a bunch of stuff I don't want to do. Well, I'm not discounting the fact that sometimes God asks us things that we really don't want to do. But I am telling you unequivocally on this verse that when God, you've discovered God's destiny for your life, it'll be good. It'll be good. It may not be just exactly what you thought your life would be, or it may not be just as in every way what you had hoped and dreamed, but it'll be good and you will love it. Your divine destiny, you will love. What we get into trouble is when we're not living our divine destiny and we're not doing God's will and we're not living out His purpose. That's when we get miserable. But when we find that vein of God's will for our lives, then it is good. Secondly, it says it is pleasing. It's pleasing. Look what he's, put the verse back up there for me. It is pleasing, pleasing, pleasing. If you want to live a life you're pleased with, you want to live a life that others are pleased with you concerning, discover your purpose. Find out why you were born. Get in that vein of this is God's will for my life. And when you find that vein, it's going to be pleasing to you and others around you. And then it's perfect. It's complete. It's right. Man, when God does something, He does it right. It's perfect. And the way God brings the pieces of our lives together, the way He orchestrates things and causes them to fit together, we look back and see the work God has done and says, God is amazing. We didn't know at the time what God was doing, but when He finishes bringing all the pieces together, it is perfect. God's plan is always better than ours. And so we learn to know God's will, and when we do, it's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. No one ever lives a life and suddenly gets to the end and regrets doing God's will, regrets obeying God, regrets being a Christian. Nobody gets to the end of their life and wishes they'd have gone their own way. Because when you find God's way, you get to the end of your life and you say, I didn't do everything right, but I found God's will. I did God's will. I fulfilled my purpose, and it was good, it was pleasing, and it was perfect. How many of you want to finish like that? Sure you do. So we go on just a little bit further. God has a plan, a special plan, for every person that's born. Every person God has a special plan for. There's no accidents in conception. There's no accidental conceptions. There's no mistaken babies. every time God touches with fresh life, and that miracle of conception takes place, with it is divine destiny. It's uniqueness. It's individuality. It's a plan. It's a purpose that God places in that tiny, tiny little human being that has just been conceived. I want to remind you of what God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5. Now, Jeremiah was one of the major prophets during the Old Testament period. And look what God said about Jeremiah. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. So even before that little moment of conception in the mind of God, he was already created. And God knew him. And God had a plan for him. He said, before you were born, that means while you were in your mother's womb, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So that means that every little child that is just recently conceived, that's growing in its mother's womb, is a child of God, has a purpose and a plan on its life, and has a unique road to walk. This last week, many of us were deeply grieved by the recent laws in the New York State that extended the time that a mother could abort her children. Just one more step in the wrong direction. One more statement against God and the Bible that protects human life. Human life does not start at birth. It starts at conception. And we have a responsibility as a nation and as a people to protect all human right. There are lots of rights. Some rights supersede others. And the right to life is the greatest right that any human being can have, because life is a gift of God, and that is what we must protect more than any other. So one more step in the wrong direction. Part of why we feel so strongly about that is because we know that that little tiny unborn child is not just a unique human being and a unique person, but has a unique call and purpose. And somehow that little baby is going to fit into the big plan of God. And when Satan is able to destroy an unborn child, he is able to sidetrack and to stop the plan that would have worked out in that child's life. We saw when Moses was born how the government of Pharaoh attacked the children and killed all the babies under 2 years old because he was trying to stop a Christ child, a deliverer from being born, trying to interrupt the plan of God that was in motion. And then when Jesus Christ was born again, the government under the leadership of Herod had a dictate that all boys 2 years old and younger would be killed because he knew there was a deliverer, there was a divine purpose, there was some baby going to be born that was going to push forward the plan of God. And so by killing the baby, he would kill the plan. Every child has a destiny and a call from God. No accidents with God. Now, his plan for every individual fits into God's bigger and grander plan. You see, before God spoke the first word that began to create the heavens and the earth, he had a plan in mind. And creation was just the first step in that plan. And that plan continues. Every child that's born anywhere in this planet and any day and time is a part of God's big picture plan. Not all of them step into that plan, of course. Not everyone fulfills that plan. Some die unnecessarily. Some make other choices. The important thing is that you and I come to realize God's purpose and plan for our lives, and we step into the middle of it and realize that I'm just a little player in a great big plan. That I'm just a little part of something bigger and grander and wonderful. That my obedience to God and finding his purpose in my life fits me into the plan that began even before creation. I'm a part of God's bigger, grander plan. Let me show you this from the Bible. Can I show it to you from Scripture? I'm not preaching philosophy now. I'm teaching the Bible. Ephesians 1, verse 9 through 11. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ. A plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Verse 11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Now, just hold that verse there. I want you to look at that last part again. It says, first of all, he chose us in advance. And secondly, he makes everything work out according to his plan. So when you begin to pursue your purpose and you begin to pursue the plan of God in your life, then he's going to begin to work everything out and bring it together to fit into his ultimate plan. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the apostle would go on to say, and all things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. So God has a plan for every individual life, and that individual plan fits into the overall plan of God. It's the fact that I'm in his plan, a tiny part of his big master plan, that makes my life significant, that gives my life meaning, cause, and purpose. Can you say amen? So you ask the question, Pastor, how do you know God's plan for your life? I mean, how do you find that out? How do you really know what God's plan is for you? Well, we go back to what Paul said initially in chapter 12. He said, give your whole body as a living sacrifice unto God. So the first thing you do is you give your life totally to him. Every part of it, every facet, every category, every part of your being, every part of your life, your hopes, your dreams, your wishes, your plans, your talents, your gifts, your anointing, everything, you give it to God. Secondly, you be transformed in your thinking. You begin to look through the lens of God's word. We study the Bible so it'll help us look at life through his lens. You know, when you look at the life through the lens of Hollywood or modern culture, you look at the lens that through the people you work with and maybe the people you interact, it's not a clear lens. But when you look through the Bible at the world, it gives you a clear lens to look through so you can see it as it really is. You know, if I were to don a pair of field glasses that are yellowish, then the whole world would look yellow. All of you would take on a yellow tint. If I put on a pair of glasses that were tinted pink, then all of you would take on a pink hue. But when you look through the lens that are clear, you see things as they really are. The Bible is the only clear lens to look at life through. So when we study the scripture, we're transforming our thinking so that our view of life, our mentality and attitude would be more clear because of God's word that is in our hearts and our minds. So that's the first steps of how to begin to know the plan and purposes of God. I guess just knowing that he has a plan is a huge start. Just realizing that I don't know what it is right now, but I know there is one, is a big place to start. You see, the plan and purposes of life are revealed to us incrementally. You know, I have a pretty good grasp on what my call and what my gifting and what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a pretty good grasp on that. I had an encounter with God when I was a very small boy, and most of you have heard me tell that story. But I had a very encounter with God, and it was just the first piece of the plan. It was just the first knowledge I received. It wasn't the whole plan. It wasn't all the answers. It wasn't about what all my giftings might be and all of that. But it was just the first piece of the plan that God began to reveal to me as a small boy. So when God reveals his plan to you, it is incrementally. It's piece by piece, and it's part by part. He doesn't often just lay the whole thing out, certainly not with detail after detail, but he starts to give you desire, he gives you interest, he gives you hopes and dreams, and you begin to learn what you're attracted to, begin to realize what you're good at and what seems to fulfill you and what makes you happy. And all of these things come together, and gradually you begin to realize what your purpose and calling is. People will speak to you in your life especially in your younger years, and they will see things in you, and they will speak words over you, and these words will become very formative to help you realize what your purpose is. It could be a pastor or an elder. It could be a teacher. It could be a coach. It could be a good friend. It certainly could be your mother and dad, but it's people in your life that seem to say significant things, and it sticks. Now, you know, we don't remember much that's said in a day, but there are words that are spoken over our lives that we never forget. So let me just see how right I am about this. How many of you can remember certain positive words spoken over you that you can't forget, and you remember them because they seem to be significant and helped you see your future a little more clearly? Raise your hand. Well, wow, just about every hand in the building is raised because God puts people around you to help reveal the plan. You can have a dream. You can have a vision. You can have some kind of an encounter with God that will help put the pieces together. It's a process. It doesn't happen at once. It doesn't happen overnight. And even after you're adult and you feel like you've got a pretty good handle on things and you've got a good history of walking in God's purpose for your life, God can unfold a new purpose and He can unfold a new part of the plan and He can take you somewhere you've never been and ask you to do something you've never done because you're not dead yet and God's plan isn't finished. You won't be dead until it is. And so realize it's given to us incrementally over a period of time. And what you know now, you walk that out. And if you walk that out, there'll be another piece and another part of it, and it'll just continue to unfold as time goes on. You know, much of walking in maturity with God is about really knowing who you are and what, how you're made and what your life is all about. Now, Paul spoke about function in these verses. So I want to go back to Romans, and I want to show you that part about function. Look at verse 4, and let's look at the word function. Verse 4, 12, Romans 12. It's coming. Here it is. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Everybody say function. Each part has a special function. Now, there is a connection between your function and your divine design. You know, if I were to hold up a hammer in front of you, you could look at the unique shape of a claw hammer, and you'd probably figure out it was made for beating on things. And if I held up just a simple screwdriver, you would probably figure out that the design of that screwdriver was to twist, turn, and unturn screws. And so if you hold up a handsaw and you look the way the teeth are cut on the bottom, you just get a feel this thing is for cutting something. You know, you can't use a handsaw to drive a nail. You can't use a hammer to cut a board because you have to match the function with the design. So God designed, he matches my design with my function. And my function is the purpose in life. Now, you know, we tell kids you can be anything you want, and we need to keep telling them they can be anything they want. But when we're telling them they can be anything they want, we know it isn't true. Because if I could be anything I want, I'd be an NFL quarterback. Or I'd be a fabulous musician, and I'd play a mean electric guitar. And I'd have a set of pipes that could rattle the rafters if I could do anything I want. But you see, I can't do anything I want. All I can do is what I was designed to do. Because your design determines your function. And so Paul said, each of you have a unique function, a special function. So first you look at what are you designed for, and then that gives you an understanding of what your function is going to be. You know, if you're designed to be a teacher, your function is going to be teaching. If you are designed to be a business person, your function is going to be business. So your design is the greatest revelation of what your divine purpose and your function is going to be. And so we must understand our design, our shape, before we can understand our function and our purpose. Now, man is a triune being because God is a triune being. Triune means three in one. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and these three together make one God. Man is also a triune being. He is spirit, soul, and body. And the combination of spirit, soul, and body creates one man. You can't have a man without a body. You can't have a man if you're missing a soul. You can't have a man if you're missing a spirit. You've got to have spirit, soul, and body to be one human being. We are triune. Now, each of these faculties contribute to our uniqueness and to our function and purpose in life. First of all, body. Our body is either male or female, and there's no in between. We were born, we were created, we were designed to either be a man or to be a woman. And the first part of figuring out what my divine function is finding out that I am a woman or I am a man, and I must play that role in my life. My heart breaks for people that get confused about that. It's a very painful walk. Be whatever you were created to be. We know what you were created to be. We can take blood tests. It's emphatic. It's unquestionable. We can do a DNA sample, and we know emphatically you were either a woman or you were a man. Go back to the original design, and that is your script in life. That's the role that you want to play. That's your body. That's your physical being. It's either male or female. Be true to your original design. Be true to your creative gender. That's the message I have for the world. Secondly, is your soulish realm. This is your temperament. This is your personality. There are many great tools to help you understand your unique personality. Here as a church, we use two very effectively. In our growth track, we use this. It's either the DISC program, which defines the four basic types of personality and the blend of those. And then we use our life language profile, which helps us to see ourselves in the unique way that God created us. But you are looking at your soulish realm. You're looking at your personality. One of the things I've done this week as I'm connecting with the Beaumont and the Nederland staff is I'm looking at their personality profiles, their temperament, because once I look at that aspect of them, it makes me understand how they think, how they're motivated, and how better to communicate with them and how better to lead them. So I'm looking at their shape, their design, so that I can better understand their function. And it's very, very helpful. Now, if you're here and you've never studied your temperament, your personality type, I encourage you to do that. We offer that in our growth track classes. It's the first and second week of each month during the Sunday morning services, and we can help you study that further. For us, it's a lifelong study. Renee and I first did these kinds of studies right after we first got married. We hadn't been married just a few years, and it revolutionized the way we saw ourselves and the way we saw each other. When we work with and encourage marriages and strengthen marriages, we always use the life language profile, because the more you understand how you're designed, the more you understand how to connect and appreciate one another. And so I just want to take a moment and encourage you, if you haven't done that, get in that right away, and any of our pastors here can help you on that, get on that track where you can begin to learn more about how you're designed, your shape, so you can better understand your function. Now, the third part of your triune being is your spirit man, and that relates to the unique gifting of the Spirit that God has given you. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, and these are unique abilities that God gives us to do things well. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 12 that I read with you. He gives us gifts, And these are things that we do well. These are spiritually related. Now, everybody has a soul, and everyone has a spirit. And everyone has a temperament and a unique personality, without exception. But when it comes to spiritual gifting, God chooses what gifts that He chooses to give to a person. And so in light of all that, we need to know what our spiritual gifting is. There's a difference in your spiritual gift and your personality and your temperament. So you have to study what is a man, what is a woman. That's body. What is my temperament? That has nothing to do with your gender. It's your unique personality or temperament. And thirdly, what are the unique gift mix that God has put in me in my spirit realm? And what is God, how has He designed me? This together puts the picture together so you know what your function is. If you know how you're designed, then you know what you're designed to do, what your function is. And when you know your function, you are on track to know what your purpose in life is. But remember that your purpose is multifaceted. It's multifaceted. Isn't just one thing. It's not just like one thing, and that's what I was born to do. We can summarize it. A few weeks ago, I summarized what I feel like my purpose is. I've used this for many years. I don't remember if it's original, if I heard it from someone, but it's been my center point now for many, many years, and here it is, to simply know Him and to make Him known. And that summarizes my whole life, to know Him and to make Him known. But that isn't nearly enough for me to live my life by. That isn't nearly enough to decide what I do and what I don't do. The purpose of God in my life is multifaceted and seasonal. Let me give you some examples of what I mean by that. First of all, I have a purpose in my family. There's a purpose for me in my family. I play a unique role, and I have to know what that role is in my family, my immediate family and also my extended family. I have a role there. I have a purpose there, and that's a unique dimension in the same way that we have three-dimensional a life where everything has three dimensions. Your purpose has three dimensions, and it's multi-purpose. It's not just one thing, but it's others. The way I look at that is the role in your family, the role in your church, the role where you work and as your career, the role you might play in the community at large. These are angles that you look at your life through and say, what is my purpose in my family? What is my purpose in my church? What is my purpose on my career, how I make my living? And what is my purpose in the community? And God will show you and help you to reveal how uniquely you will fit into those scenes in a way that you can be a blessing and God can use you and bless others through you. Can you say another great big amen? So once you know your purpose, then you can live a life of significance. You can live a life of fulfillment. You can live a life of meaning. Not only that, when you find your purpose, It's a lane you run in. It's a groove you fit in. It's a comfort zone. I mean, there's just something wonderful about knowing that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and doing something that you were born to do and doing something you're able to do. Have you ever known anyone that was doing something they really didn't like and really weren't great at and having a tough time doing it every day? Because they're not really in the right lane. They really haven't found, this is my niche. This is where I'm supposed to be, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I pray that if that applies to anybody, that the Holy Spirit will have awakened something in you today to help you find your lane, the lane you're supposed to run in, to find your niche or your groove, to find out, you know what? I believe I'm in God's will today. I'm not out there somewhere just looking for it, but I found it. What a great pleasure that is to know I'm right where God wants me. And to the best of my ability, I'm doing what He wants me to do. I've found my purpose. I've discovered my destiny. And I'm walking it out. Can you say amen? You can close your Bibles now. I want to pray over you. Pastor Brandon is coming. Brandon is coming just a minute, and he's going to lead you in giving. But I want to pray over you before I be seated. Ask God to touch your heart. Sometimes you have problems and issues that are so in your face, so wrapped up your mind and emotions. It's hard to think about destiny and purpose and doing important things for God because you just have the enemy all wrapped around you. And I understand that. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to give the altar call first this morning, because I sense that. But I want to pray now that in the midst of whatever you're going through, or for those of you that aren't really, that God would so empower you with purpose and destiny, that the joy of the Lord of knowing you're in His will and doing what He wants you to do would overwhelm you, and you'd feel the pleasure of God. The pleasure of God. The pleasure of God. Oh, how wonderful it is to feel His pleasure when you know you're doing what you're supposed to do. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God and your word has awakened us today to our own significance in your plan, to our own purpose that you have given us in our lives. I pray a blessing on these people, that they would know the joy of walking in your will, the pleasure of knowing they found the place that you have ordained for them. If someone is discouraged, I pray, Lord, that you would infuse them with courage and hope. And if someone is taking a detour and they know in their heart that they're not quite on the right road, inspire them to change courses. Exit the road they're on and catch the own ramp to the road you would have for them. I pray a blessing on them all in Jesus' name.